So wait, they gave $100,000 to charity, but it only cost them a third of that?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I guess it's financial life planning. Matt Robeson with Mike Morton, who is the guru of all things financial and life. And I guess, wait, back me up. How did this work?
Yeah, so you can give away $100,000, but it only costs you about $30,000. Yeah.
And you know people who do this.
I know people who have done this.
So this is like a Harry Potter spell, right? They break into the vault and like they grab the cup and it becomes like three cups.
Exactly. And it just starts multiplying from there. No, that's compound interest. That's a different episode. Oh, right. This one is about supporting charitable giving. And the way it works is it's by saving on taxes in a couple of different ways. So when you give to charitable organizations, you get the opportunity to support that organization, which is great. That's kind of the point. But you also get the opportunity to save on taxes. And there's a couple of ways of saving. So giving away, even though the charity receives a full $100,000 and they get to spend that and use it, you actually only gave away, due to tax savings, you only gave away about $30,000.
All right. You're really going to have to back me up the whole way here. So you have clients who did this exact. Who are these magic clients? Like, it's Harry and Hermione, right?
That's right. So these are friends. Let's say Amanda, and she had inherited. Oh,
you don't like my British version. You
the
don't
British want version.
Harry and Hermione.
No, we're gonna say Harry and Hermione. All right, we got Harry and Hermione, and they inherited stock from their grand. You know, one of them inherited stock from their grandmother. And it was Exxon stock, and they just didn't really want to own oil stock. So we were, finding ways like, hey, what can we do about this? But it had a lot of capital gains because, they had purchased it and grandfather had purchased it like 50 years ago.
Right.
So it was all capital gains. It was worth about $100,000. So that was one of the pieces we were working on. And so they're also charitable minded, like to support a variety of charities. And so we took the Exxon stock and donated the stock. Okay. So that's a $100,000 donation that you get to take off your taxes. Now, the way it works then is there's two benefits to that. One is they get to take it off their taxes in this year. Say this is 2022, I think it was. So they had about $600,000 of income. Harry and Hermione have great jobs working in the wizarding world, of course. So $600,000 of income minus $100,000, you get to take off the $100,000. So that's about 40 cents on the dollar between federal and state taxes. So there's about $40,000 that they're not paying in taxes or reduce their taxes. All right. You might even get a refund, however it works, so $40,000 they save on their taxes for 2022. In addition, because eventually, if they wanted to spend that $100,000, you have to turn it into cash. So you have to sell the stock and buy and use the cash. And then at that point, you'd have to pay capital gains. So you sell $100,000 worth of stock, you'd owe about 30% of that, between, again, state, federal. They're in California. So high income state as well. So that's another, 14 grand or more that would be capital gains. And so you're giving away 100,000, but because of both of those savings, the current year and the capital gains only cost you about $36,000 in purchasing power. $36,000 it costs you because you would have paid so much in tax.
So you're telling me this story as a jumping off point, though. I mean, this is like you're incepting me here, because there's like a story within your story here, because you don't really want to tell me about Harry and Hermione or Amanda and whatever boring man name you are going to make up before I improved your story. You don't really want to tell me that. You want to tell me about sort of the how they did this. You want to tell me about DAFs. Is that like a band, like Daft Punk?
The DAF. Yeah.
The DAF.
The DAF. This could be my new name.
Welcome to
the DAF.
You're the DAF. Oh
my God. Come and see the DAF. Yeah.
You're a DJ at a rave. Wait, so what's a DAF?
A donor advised fund. DAF, so donor advised funds. And today what I want to do, Matt, is give the overview on why you should know about donor advised funds. And we'll call this the 9 reasons you should be using a donor advised fund or a DAF.
Got it. It's like the 7 uses of dragon's blood. So if you want to do these kinds of things where you turn charitable giving into, like, you only spend a third of that, donor advised funds, DAFs, are, that's one of their superpowers, and you're saying there are more.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of great reasons for using donor advised funds. So I thought we'd give an overview today, and I do want to get into some specifics maybe in future episodes, but I thought today we'll just give the high level, like, what are donor advised funds, how you can take advantage of them.
Got it. So here's a question. What are donor advised funds?
So a donor advised fund, very simply, it's an account that you own. So just like your checking, savings, brokerage account, you open up an account called a donor advised fund. And then you can transfer money into that. You can transfer cash, you can transfer stock, other things we'll get into. And when you transfer money into a donor advised fund, it becomes a charitable gift, even though the account is still in your name. So in other words, if you take that Exxon stock worth $100,000 and transfer it into the donor advised fund, you immediately get a $100,000 charitable donation, even though the charity doesn't have it yet. It's still an account that you manage and own. Then from that account, you can give out to the charities you want to support whenever you want to do that, in the same year or in future years.
I love how you're constantly explaining things on this show that really sound like crimes. They sound like they're scams, but you're assuring me that not only are they legal, the government is encouraging us to do these things through the tax code. So you explained money laundering. No, not the bad kind, right? The legal kind of money laundering. And because of you, I'm doing this right now. I did it. After our episode, I went ahead and did it. People should go back, listen to that episode. And then, you can check. The feds are not coming for me because I'm doing your thing. And now you're telling me, let me read this back to you. You open an account and you call it a donor advised fund. You put money or other valuables, I don't know, doubloons, into this account. And then whenever you want, you hand it out to charities and you get all the tax benefits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got it.
Wow.
It's so amazing.
That's amazing.
It's so amazing.
I literally just finished doing on Beyond Politics on my pod. I literally just finished doing an interview with the writer and executive producer of an amazing comedy from 30 years ago, an Eddie Murphy movie called The Distinguished Gentleman. And this guy's whole point, after working in politics, he became a Hollywood guy. And his whole point in making this movie was, Washington, D.C. is where grift and graft are illegal. There are all these legal, totally 100% legal things you can do that in any other place would be called crimes. And you're telling me, well, not just Washington, also our tax code. You can do these things. That's fantastic. Okay, so you open an account. Can you do this anywhere, like Fidelity, Vanguard, Schwab? Like,
yeah, a bunch of places have these, and that's one of the points today. We'll talk about the ease of use. So you can open these kind of a bunch of different places, especially those big brokerage houses, which makes it kind of easy. And then there's a variety of other places that you can open them as well, especially community foundations. And this is a new one for me. And we'll probably get into that in a future episode, but community foundations are very interesting. If you want to have a local impact, that there's probably a community foundation nearby you or in the town or county that you live in. And they also use these donor advised funds, and really work at a very local level. So that's another great spot for opening a donor advised fund.
So you might open a donor advised fund with a community charity, a community foundation. And does that mean that the money goes to that foundation?
No, but we're going to put a pin in that, Matt, and have a future episode on community foundations.
But they provide it. So you've got lots of options and lots of people. People are doing this. Like, this is happening.
Yeah. There's millions of these out there. So like 3 million, the latest stats are about like 3 million people are using donor advised funds. They're very easy to use. They came in by, I want to say 10 or 15 years ago, maybe even longer, but that's when they, started becoming popular. Very easy to use, very low cost. And there's a bunch of great reasons. There are not at least 9 great reasons why you should use one of these.
Yeah, let's get into those reasons, because it the question that sort of pops into my mind is, why would I do this over just taking my doubloons or whatever it is and just giving it right to the charity? I support Doctors Without Borders. We give Doctors Without Borders money every year. So what's the advantage? Well, I think you're going to tell me there are nine, but what's the advantage of doing a Daft Punk?
Well, let's go through some of these, because some of them apply directly to donor advised funds and some are just, you know, the tax benefits you would get anyway. Mm-hmm. So in your case, Matt, there's no particular reason, you know, for the tax benefits you could use a donor advised fund or not. You know, you're still going to get that charitable donation. But the first reason is you're going to save on taxes in the current year. All right. And this is a big point that you'll see as we go through some of the other steps. But the donor advised funds, as I told you, you can put money in 2024, right? So you could take, you know, $10,000, put it into your own donor advised fund. And in 2024, you get to take $10,000 off your taxes. So you reduce your taxable income by $10,000. So that's the number one reason, you know, number one here out of our nine is save on tax in your current year by making a charitable donation. Now, that's not particular to donor advised funds. Okay. That also applies in your example. If I just give directly to a charity, you'd get the same thing, but you'll see that in the donor advised fund, I told you, you still get to maintain control. So there are reasons that that number one will show up in a couple of the points later on, how you can combine that with other things.
Including that you can then give out the funds you've put in over time.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, I see. Yeah,
that's how they work.
I see.
So you give them out.
Is there a time limit on this? Like, could
no.
Do I have to do it within a set?
No, you're skipping ahead, man. Number nine, the last one, legacy.
Yeah.
There's no time limit on this.
Let's go in order. God, you're what do my kids call me? Oh no, they don't. It's no longer a diss to say you basic. That was like 5 years ago. Right. To say that was like a withering insult, and now it's gone. All right. So basic. That's number one, is you get that immediate tax savings.
Yeah. Now be careful, because to get the tax savings, I have a lot of people that come in and say, oh yeah, I gave away, you know, $4,000 in charity. I'd like to do that again this year. And it's great because I get a tax savings. Well, you have to get over the standard deduction on your tax forms. We're not going to go into that today, so don't ask me any follow-up questions, Matt. That's going to be a future deep dive into getting over the standard deduction versus itemized deductions. But in general, if you donate a large sum, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 into donor advised fund, you get to take that deduction off your current taxes.
But I think I see where you're going with that. Every year, many of us are familiar with that, right? Like there's, are you taking the standard or are you itemizing?
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll put a pin in that for later. All right. What's number two?
Number two, save on capital gains taxes to avoid capital gains. So one of the great things about donor advised funds is you can donate appreciated stock that's gone up in value. You mentioned you can open these at Schwab, Vanguard, Fidelity. So if you have a brokerage account, you know, that you have at one of those places, and a bunch, you know, some of your stock has done well over the last 5 or 10 years and it's really grown in value, you can donate stock directly from your brokerage account. Like at Fidelity, you know, you've got some, you know, some stocks in your brokerage account, you open a donor advised fund, you can just with a couple of clicks donate that stock directly. So the charity will get the full value of the stock. Your donor advised fund gets the full value. But if you had sold that stock, you would have paid capital gains on that. So you would have owed more in taxes. If you wanted to turn that $20,000 of ExxonMobil stock into cash, you would pay $4,000. Instead, if you donate, you avoid paying capital gains on that.
All right. I know we have seven more items to get through. So we're going to do this little rabbit hole in just 30 seconds. And just 30 seconds. Is there like a next level? We've already invoked wizards. So is there like a next level wizard level to this where if I'm doing your legal form of money laundering in one step, right, where I'm taking money out of a brokerage account and I'm, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take the hit on it now because I'm going to get it into a tax preferred account and it's going to grow more over time. If I'm doing that and I'm like, ugh, I'm taking the capital gains hit here, can I reduce my overall taxes in the same breath by saying, you know what, I've got some money in that brokerage account and I'm going to shunt it over to a donor advised fund and offset some of that? Like, can I pair your strategies in this like super next level way?
Yes. That's exactly right. And we're going to get into that again, Matt, jumping ahead, my friend.
Number four.
Yeah, it's very flexible. The use of this.
I don't read your lists in advance.
I know you don't. That's fine.
All right.
But then, good question. That is the great use of the donor advised fund. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, hey, I can give my doubloons, you know, straight to Doctors Without Borders. Yeah, absolutely. But the donor advised fund allows you to be more flexible with pairing strategies during the year. So, yeah.
I see. Yeah. All right. I know you're going to just tell me that the answer to this is, no, this is number 8.5 on my list. You can't do that now. How can you have any pudding if you haven't eaten your meat? In the midst of doing my Pink Floyd metaphor, I may have lost my question. But all right. So I give my stock to a donor advised fund, right? Mm-hmm. If it continues to appreciate, what happens then? I don't have a tax liability for that, right? And I assume the charity doesn't either.
Yeah. Enough of you skipping ahead. I'm going to number three.
All right.
And then we're going to answer your question later.
I just have so many questions.
I know. It's so good, man. It's so good. So number three, it's simple. So I mentioned these are simple to open and use. So they're simple to open. That's great. So you have Fidelity, Schwab, Vanguard, you know, if you've already got accounts there, it's like a few clicks to open up one of these donor advised funds. I mentioned the community foundations, which I think is a really cool route to go as well. They make it easy and have people there that will actually help you, you know, on the phone and walk you through stuff. So it's really cool to have local organizations. But the great thing too is that it's very easy to track. So a lot of my clients have, you know, they're very charitable minded. And so they'll have, you know, 5, 10, 20 different places. They're giving you $100 here, $500 there. And you got to track all that. So the donor advised fund is a great mechanism also to keep things simple and to keep track. You can make donations into the donor advised fund and then give them out from there. And then you have just one, you know, spit it out at the end of the year. Like, oh, here's all your donations you made, you know. So it's very easy to track for tax purposes.
That's actually amazing, because what I end up having to do is we have a Google Doc, you know, like where we keep track of here's all the things, because we're giving to various places. But that's pretty awesome. It's like having a debit card for charity.
That's it, man. Yeah. Debit card for charity. There you go.
Yeah. I just copyrighted that. Okay. Pay me. All right. Go on. What's number four?
All right. Number four, flexible. So this is getting to they're flexible. You can deduct now, you can donate into the donor advised fund. And then you get to take that off your taxes this year, like we talked about. And then you can give to charities this year, next year, down the road. And so this is the pairing of strategies, Matt. So what you just talked about. So, you know, I'm doing this money laundering, you know, I'm taking a tax hit now. I could do some donations to, you know, offset that tax hit. This is great for when you have high income years. So you got a big bonus this year. So you bumped into a higher tax bracket. You could do a bigger donation this year. You know, you could do a $50,000 donation into your donor advised fund and then give out $10,000 a year for the next 4 or 5 years. So you offset a higher tax bracket year, you know, with smoothing out your charitable giving over time. The other thing is, like, if you have a sale of a big asset or something, like your company goes public and you got, you know, or you sell your company or whatever it is, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people get bumped into higher tax brackets. And it's a good year to offset that by making charitable donations.
Does it work like an IRA where I can calculate my taxes first and then decide up through April 15th to do a donation into a DAF for the previous year?
That's a great question. And fortunately, the answer is no. You have to do it during the calendar year. Very few things work that way, Matt. The IRAs do and your HSAs do, but most everything has to be during the calendar year.
Okay. All right. So if you're getting dropped a huge bonus, then, you know, pay attention by December 31st. Okay.
And the other thing, other way around, if you're in a low income year, not that this strategy might apply, but just pay attention. I have a lot of clients that come in. It's like, yeah, I took a year off, you know, it was great. Now I'm doing this job. I'm like, oh, you missed a great opportunity. Like, you were in such a low income bracket. You know, we could have done some planning. So high income brackets, low income brackets, you know, change during a year. You know, really pay attention to that stuff. Okay. Number five, grow your assets. So you mentioned this. You put the money, you know, you donated that stock into the donor advised fund. They will sell it. The donor advised funds only use like limited investment options, kind of like your 401k. You know, you have a limited choice of investment options, but yes, you can invest the money. So if you donate 10,000 of stock, it will go into the donor advised fund. They'll swap it, sell the stock inside the donor advised fund. They'll sell the stock and reallocate it. And you can choose most of the time how to reallocate it. Hey, I want 100% stocks. I want 50-50 stocks and bonds. I just want all cash, you know, because I'm giving it out. So depending on what you want to do with that account, you're in charge of it. It is your donor advised fund, and you can choose how to invest those, that cash, those assets, just like you choose your 401k.
This feels like a sneaky big deal, this number five, because when you pair it with your first point about you can get the tax benefit immediately, but then you can continue to grow. This is how you can really magnify. I mean, you could have added to your Hermione and Harry story earlier. You know, you can really magnify the benefit that you're giving to charities and benefit yourself in the same year. This is a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. This, along with the flexible timing, you know, because I have clients going through different situations year in and year out. So the flexible timing and then growing the assets, you know, coming up with a plan, which is number six. It's like, you know, the nice thing about donor advised funds is that you have a plan for your charitable giving. And so many people I meet love to support, you know, local charities, national charities, organizations, all of that. But it's a little bit ad hoc, right? You know, people come and knock on the door. Oh yeah, I'll give, you know, $100 or $300 or, oh yeah, we usually do this at the end of the year and that. The nice thing about opening a donor advised fund, I think it gives you a little bit higher level thinking in terms of a plan. Hey, what is the plan for this? What is our annual giving? It's 2,000, it's 5,000. You know, what are we going to do each year? So I think that's another great use of a donor advised fund, to just have a plan.
That would really help me psychologically, because I mentioned that we track things in a Google sheet. I shouldn't give that away, I guess. It doesn't really matter. What's someone going to do? Hack my charitable giving? Right. Oh, look. And I begin to stress at a certain point in the year, because there is sort of a target that I'd like to hit. And it does strike me as a little bit backwards. I try to plan as much as I can everything else in my financial life. So why wouldn't I plan this aspect, which is an important part of, you know, one of the things that I think we should be doing in the world. That really speaks to me. Maybe number five about being able to grow the assets is sneaky important, but this one feels like, I don't know, this is a big deal psychologically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find the same thing. Like when I work with clients, coming up with a giving plan is something that they're really interested in and love having. It's like, oh, great. Now I know. Like, and then they want to up it. Like, oh, I want to start at this level, but maybe with our overall financial plan, you know, we can increase that. Right. So it's just taking the time, you know, a few minutes, you know, an hour, a year to, you know, come up with a plan and then stick with and track the plan.
And you're not stuck with it. You have the flexibility per your other point.
Yeah.
Number four. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
What's number seven?
Education. I think that donor advised funds is a great opportunity for having the whole family involved in giving decisions. Again, you can do it like directly. I know, Matt, we've talked about in the past, we both do with our families, like, oh, towards the end of the year, you know, very typical, like get the kids involved. Hey, you know, what are we going to support this year? What are we going to do? So it's not particular to a donor advised fund, but again, paired with number six, like having a plan and then bringing the family members in, you know, and having them, you know, here's what we do and here's how it works and what should we support this year. I think it's a great opportunity for education about, you know, charitable giving in general, that you can involve the whole family.
Can I just pause on this one for just a moment? What you're saying is that if you have, you know, your parents' generation and they're interested in doing this, this can be a way for them to start to think ahead, not only to plan their own charitable giving, but also to kind of make it a family enterprise and to have their wishes for charitable giving kind of continue, you know, as part of their family legacy. Okay, let's say one generation starts a donor advised fund, and then you name successor advisors, you know, your the kids' generation. Can the kids continue? Can they make their own donations to that fund? Can it be sort of one consolidated fund for the family, or is this on an individual basis?
Yeah, it can be families. So the nice thing about donor advised funds is you can have multiple people contribute to that and pool the money. Yeah. Wow. And typically they'll be like families would be the spouses, right? So like, oh yeah, I'm going to donate from this account. I'm going to donate from this account. We're both going to be, we can both log in and make changes and make donations. You know, both partners can make donations from the account. So yeah, they often work that way.
But you could, if you had like a whole clan, in theory, you know, it could be like the people who fund your PBS shows. It's like, this episode of Nova is brought to you by the Koch Family Foundation. Yeah. I don't want to be the Koch family, but like you could have, you know, a whole extended family say, you know what, we're going to have our own family foundation. We're not millionaires, but we could do this.
This is exactly where donor advised funds are going, Matt. They're the cheap version of a family foundation. It costs a lot of money to start up, you know, a full family foundation. All right. And so, you know, only the very wealthy would do that kind of thing. This is the poor man's version, you know, and they work incredibly easy. They're low cost. They're easy to use, easy to set up. And this is exactly right, Matt. So recently in the last few years, the amount of money in donor advised funds has surpassed private family foundations.
Really?
And this is, yeah, and this is the way to do it. And so, yes, you definitely get the kids involved. You can definitely, number nine is leaving this as a legacy. So you can definitely leave, you know, even after you're gone, you have successor trustees, especially the charitable, the community foundations really will set them up this way too. Like after your passing, they can manage them with written language. Oh, every year I want 10,000 a year going here until, you know, it's depleted or whatever it is. So you can set these up to be a legacy as well with the family or just kind of like someone else managing it after your passing.
I did it. I dragged you out of order. I got you to number nine before number eight. Yes, that was my entire goal for this episode. Now let's get in number eight.
Number eight's a cool one because it's the donor advised funds can accept a wide range of assets. So when you give to Doctors Without Borders, I'm guessing like they just really want cash donations. That's what they're set up for. Like, you know, credit card, you know, use your checking account, right? So the donor advised fund, one of the great uses is appreciated stock. So donating stock that's gone up in value. We mentioned that, you know, as number two. So that's great because, and those, you know, if you got Fidelity, Schwab, Vanguard, whatever, they make it a couple of clicks. They'll even help you like figure out the right things. Oh, what should I donate? They'll even tell you, oh, here's your most appreciated asset. Like you should donate this stock, you know, so they'll help you through that.
Really?
So that's great. Yeah. So they'll even do that
wow.
for you. But you can donate real estate. You can donate closely held business interests. You can donate all kinds of stuff that the charity has a hard time accepting, but these bigger organizations say, great, we'll take that on, we'll sell it, we'll turn it into cash, and then you can give that out to the charities.
And so the charity, once I take my appreciated stock, or in your example, the Exxon stock, right?
Yep.
You've got the Exxon stock, it's gone up a great deal in value, it's, you know, so you've got like a $100,000 worth of this. The charity gets the money?
So the $100,000, the stock that's worth $100,000, you click, send that over to your donor advised fund. Then say this is at Fidelity. They will sell that, turn it into $100,000 of cash. You get to choose what to reinvest it in, like your 401k. So now it's in cash or 50-50 box stocks and bonds, whatever. And then you get to decide how much to give out. So if you want to give out $100,000 to one charity, great. You just click, say like, please give it to Doctors Without Borders, do that this week. And they say, great, no problem. And the charity gets just the cash. Yeah.
And the capital gain just evaporates.
It just evaporates.
Freaking amazing. Wow. Yeah. All right. I did peek ahead a little bit at your list. I had to eventually. Damn it. Why didn't you just say top 10 list? You said that there's a bonus here. Why does it have to be 9 plus 1? You said there'd be no math on this exam, but you have a bonus.
Well, yeah, it was only, you know, if we wanted to get into the bonus. Yeah, privacy. The bonus is privacy. And I think this is a good one too for a lot of people want to be able to give anonymously, right? Support the charities, but, you know, just give anonymously. Now, you can do this often direct to the charity. You can give but a lot of times they need your contact information. Right? Like, you know, okay, we won't publicize where it came from, but they need to know who you are. If you use a donor advised fund, you got the intermediary and like Fidelity will send it out to Doctors Without Borders and say, this is an anonymous donation. And so they won't even know your contact at all. And so you don't get inundated every each year with like, oh, thanks for giving last year. Here's our latest flyer, you know, and you get it like four times a year. So you can really use it as a middleman for the privacy. And I think that's, you know, a good point as well.
Right. And it's part of a plan, which is one of the things that many people struggle with is you get those solicitations, you get those reminders. That's how it's supposed to work. And you feel guilty. You feel, and then you're doing things, as you said, ad hoc, not as part of your intended approach to charitable giving. Well, that's, I gotta say, Mike, this may be my favorite episode we've ever done. I've not only learned a lot, but like, this feels like a no-brainer. This feels like I can see why these things are growing like crazy. Like, I don't see why everyone isn't doing this.
Yeah, donor advised funds are amazing planning tools. They're very easy, low cost, simple, all the stuff we talked about. I will say the one downside that I hear, which is true, is you're not giving the money to the charity. The charity does not have the money. Okay, so in the example I gave you, the $100,000, it's sitting there in an account. So you got the charitable deduction, you know, all the other things that we talked about, but the organizations you want to support don't actually have the money. And so that's one of the downsides is don't get stuck on like, you know, make a plan and don't get stuck on all these great benefits and then have the money sit there.
You've got to actually distribute.
You've got to actually distribute the money, support the organizations, you know, don't just use this as all these great points. Make sure the money is flowing out with a plan, you know, to get to into the hands of the organizations that need it.
If you create one of these and you pass away and it becomes part of your estate, the money is in there and it must be distributed for charitable purposes. So this becomes something where your successor advisor, you know, you have to name one, does eventually someday have to distribute this money.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. But again, it can be over so many years that, you know, don't get too stuck on the fun part, you know, the nine points above. Make sure the money is getting out there, you know, with that plan. I thought that was a good point that it's not, you know, people can get stuck on like, oh, and then the money's just sitting there and growing and growing. Like, yeah, get it out there, you know, have your plan and make sure you follow through with the plan.
So the flexibility is good. Just don't go too far. All things in moderation. All right, Mike, amazing. I've learned a ton. This is actual magic. There's Hogwarts is real. I'm going to go to platform 9 3/4. All right, Mike, thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us on Financial Life Planning. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to and rate the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It makes a massive difference. If you have a comment or question, please email me, mike@mortonfa.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered for investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. I cannot guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the data presented here.